Hello, and welcome back to another dreary fanfiction reading. Today I'm going to be reading chapters 22 through 24 of Seven Steps by Dorothy Ann on Archive of Our Own, or alternatively, Dorothy Ann Dreary on Wattpad. If you haven't seen the previous episodes, I highly recommend you do that, because everything will make sense for the story, you know? Because that's how stories work. You don't, like, open a book to the middle and start reading, or... If you do, you're kind of crazy, but I can't fault you for that. Anyways, I hope you enjoy. Chapter 22. Potter? Draco said. What are you doing here? Potter said. Draco stepped outside. Has something happened? Potter shook his head. I was at the New Year's party, and Hermione had Ron, Ginny had Luna. You're supposed to kiss who you want to spend the rest of the year with, but you weren't there. Draco's chest squeezed tight, his heart racing. Potter wavered. This is weird, isn't it? I shouldn't have... Draco put his hand over Potter's mouth. This is the most romantic thing to ever to happen to me. Don't fucking ruin it. Potter raised his eyebrows. Just kiss me, you moron, Draco said. Potter pulled Draco's hand off his mouth and threaded their fingers together and kissed him. Draco said, Now you tell me. Happy New Year, Draco. Potter shook his head in disbelief, fighting back a smile. I've missed you. Draco blinked at Potter and couldn't remember what he had been saying. Are you all right? Potter asked with that funny little furrow between his eyes. Draco frowned. I am so annoyed with you right now. What? Why? Draco ignored the question with a huff. Are you going to stay, or did you just come for a kiss? Potter looked up at the manor with trepidation, then at Draco. I think I want to stay. Fuck, Draco muttered. I can go if you'd rather... No, Draco said peevishly. Did you tell anyone you were coming here? Potter instantly looked sheepish. You impulsively apparated over, didn't you? He nodded. Of course, Draco sighed and stepped inside. We're going to have to borrow Mother's owl so no one thinks I've kidnapped you. He held out his hand. Harry, are you coming? Harry jumped like he'd been shocked, and Draco started to flush even though he'd been trying to maintain his composure. Harry? Harry repeated. Draco glared at him. That is your name, yes? Did you land on your head? No. I mean, yes. I mean, that is my name, and no, I didn't land on my head, Harry said faintly, and then grinned like a moron. I'm not sure I believe you, Draco said, and dragged him inside. Sparing a glare for Kipper, who closed the door behind them. Kipper, would you tell Mother that Harry Potter is visiting?
An older young master?
Kipper asked, looking like the picture of perfect obedience if you didn't grow up with an elf and could recognize the vindictive satisfaction in his expression. A request, Draco said, knowing the distinction didn't matter to Kipper. Kipper bowed and disappeared.
You're wearing it. Harry said.
Draco followed Harry's gaze down to the faded red sweatshirt.
I was about to go to bed.
You wear it to bed? Harry said.
Well, I'm not going to wear it in public, Draco said, feeling his face get hot. Harry grinned.
I'm amazed you're wearing it at all.
I hoped it'd be all right. I know it's not as nice as your gift.
It was a scarf, Draco said,
and gloves and a hat.
So?
Draco said.
And in my favorite color.
Draco shrugged. I just happened to see them when I was out with Pansy.
And Muggle, Harry said pointedly.
Draco rolled his eyes. You know what? Yes, you're entirely right. My gift was astonishingly good, and you should probably give me another to catch up. Thank you for pointing that out. He froze for just a second and then laughed.
Draco smiled.
Harry grinned and plucked at the sweatshirt.
Then I should just take this back now.
Over my dead body, Draco snapped before he could stop himself. Harry laughed.
Oh?
I thought you wanted something nicer. You can't take back a gift, Draco said with a sniff. You're right. I should wait until I have the better gift and then exchange them, Harry said, being far too amused with himself and not at all good at hiding it. Draco narrowed his eyes. I said over my dead body, Potter. Harry blinked. What happened to Harry?
He's right here, Draco said, poking Harry in the chest, apparently suffering from brain damage after landing on his head.
No, I meant... I know what you meant, Draco said, and if you're going to be a tit, I'm going to call you Potter.
Harry's smile softened. I'll have to be good then.
Unlikely, Draco scoffed. Harry shrugged. Draco brushed his hand through Harry's hair, and Harry sighed, his eyes drifting shut. Draco wasn't sure who moved or if they both did, wrapping their arms around one another. Harry pressed his face into the curve of Draco's neck as Draco rested his cheek against Harry's hair. He breathed in deeply, and it was 1,000 times better than the faint scent caught in Harry's old sweatshirt. When he exhaled, Draco felt like he was letting out a breath he hadn't even known he was holding. He had missed the little twat terribly.
How long will you stay? Draco asked quietly. I could get tea, or I could get whiskey, or I could go back to school with you, Harry interrupted.
That's the day after tomorrow.
Funnily enough, I know how calendars work, Harry said.
That would mean preparing your room, or perhaps Harry might want to share his, and Draco wasn't sure what that would mean. Harry kissed Draco's neck and made him shiver. He leaned back, searching Draco's expression.
Is that all right? Me staying?
Draco nodded.
It's just you're being quiet, Harry said.
Draco slowly smiled and Harry slowly narrowed his eyes. Draco laughed.
It's nothing.
Harry didn't look convinced.
I was just thinking about something, but it can wait, Draco said, taking Harry's hand once more.
What happened to this place? Harry asked, looking around the walls.
Paint isn't at the top of my mother's list of priorities, Draco said, gripping Harry's hand firmly and leading him straight down the entry hall.
Harry was too busy looking around to notice where Draco was taking him, which was for the best because Draco was fairly certain he would have dug in his heels immediately.
I don't remember everything being so blank, Harry said, and then asked, Where are we going?
Here, Draco said, opening one of the double doors to the ballroom. Harry's whole body stiffened. Draco pulled open the other door. Inside, the sconces began lighting immediately. They were the only original part of the room left. We pulled up the parquet floor and replaced it with sealed purified marble. Stone can't hold dark magic very well. Wood and fabric, the softer a material is, the more dark magic can seep into it, Draco said, stepping inside, his footsteps ringing around the empty space. Dark magic leaves a residue that you can feel under your skin in the worst sort of way. Harry remained frozen in the doorway. We obviously couldn't take down the walls, not easily anyway, but 3 layers of plaster with 3 layers of purifying wash and 3 layers of protective charms is enough to not only stop it, but slowly dissipate it. Draco turned on his heel in the center of the room. What was left of the chandeliers were put in the attic. Any furniture that was too tainted was removed, and by removed I mean that we burned them, a great massive pile in the back gardens. It will probably never be used as a ballroom again.
Why did you bring me here?
Harry asked quietly, the silence catching his words and bouncing them from wall to wall. Because if you weren't thinking about it now, you would have, and it would have been lingering in the back of your mind. Because you're meant to be thinking about me and not some empty room, Draco said. He walked back to Harry and stopped. Better to just face it. Draco went to walk past Harry, but he caught Draco's wrist. Harry hesitated for a second and then walked into the room, pulling Draco with him. Harry walked around the ballroom in a circle and then slowly turned, his eyes searching for something on the floor, eventually leading them to the spot that Draco remembered himself, where he had been dragged over to identify Harry. Harry took a deep breath and then led them to the center of the room where Bellatrix had... Draco shuddered and looked away. Harry looked up at the empty ceiling. "Were you hurt when it fell?" he asked quietly. "Bruises, mostly. A few small cuts," Draco replied in the same hushed tone. Harry headed across the ballroom, pulling open the small door at the back of the narrower servants' hallways connecting the bathroom to the kitchens and wine cellar. He stopped in front of the archway leading down to the wine cellar, but all that was left was an archway of stone filled with red bricks. Harry ran his hand over the new smooth brickwork. "It's... what happened?" "A few weeks before school, Luna and I filled it with concrete and stone and brick and anything we could conjure," Draco said. "That's good that Luna helped," Draco added. "If I had known you and I were going to become close, I would have invited you. It was quite cathartic." Harry smiled. "Yeah, that might have been fun. Too bad you still thought I was a dick at the time," Draco said. Harry raised an eyebrow, his smile tilting into a smirk. "Pretty sure you still are." Draco hesitated and then shrugged. "You're the one who likes me regardless." "I am pretty fucked up," Harry agreed. Draco laughed despite himself and tried to fight it back, covering his mouth with the back of his hand. Harry caught Draco's wrist and pulled it away, matching Draco's grin with his own that set them both laughing and untied the knot of tension between them. Harry looked down at the hall and back at Draco. "I suppose I ought to owl Molly, so she knows where I've gone." Draco nodded and took the lead, guiding Harry down the narrow hallway and through the kitchens. Draco nicked a pair of iced buns set under the stasis for morning and passed one to Harry, biting into it as they made their way up the stairs and down the narrow carpet running down the hall to his mother's room. Draco tapped on the doorframe. "Mother, I'm sorry to disturb you."
"You're not disturbing me," Mother said.
Draco handed Harry his half-eaten bun before stepping inside. "I need to borrow Armand if he hasn't gone hunting for the night." Mother was standing by the window, her back ramrod straight. She looked him over to make sure he was all in one piece before her eyes went over his shoulder. "Mr. Potter, welcome to my home."
"Thank you. Sorry to trouble you," Harry said awkwardly, putting his hands behind his back to hide the pair of buns as he shuffled into the room.
Mother nodded ever so slightly, her expression entirely unreadable.
"It's no trouble."
She walked silently over to the writing desk and set out a small piece of message parchment and a quill.
"Do you require anything else?"
Harry's expression briefly contorted into panic as he slowly walked to the desk, hands still behind his back. Draco bit his lip to keep from laughing. His mother must have seen something in his expression, because her mask cracked just briefly as she raised an eyebrow. Harry looked from the desk to Draco with a pleading expression. Draco finally took mercy on the prat and conjured a plate and held it out. "Here, Potter," he said, shaking his head in dismay. Harry narrowed his eyes as he put the buns down. Draco kindly cast a cleaning charm on Harry's hands as well, in case they had icing on them. A second eyebrow went up in his mother's face. Draco did his best to look innocent, even though she knew he wouldn't be fooled in the slightest. Harry picked up the quill, and Mother brushed her hand over Armand's feathers before taking Draco by the elbow and steering him to the other side of the room.
"Have you read the book?" Mother asked quietly.
"Mother!" Draco hissed. Mother's grip on his elbow tightened.
"Will he be staying in a guest room or in your rooms?"
Draco gaped at her, feeling a flush creeping up his neck.
"He hasn't said..."
"So, have you read the book?" Mother repeated firmly.
Draco managed to nod.
Yes.
"You're an adult, Draco. I'm not going to say who you can and can't have in your rooms," Mother said. "I just want you to be safe."
Draco nodded again,
looking at his mother's ear and definitely not at her or Harry. Mother added, "You might lend Mr. Potter that book. I know Hogwarts education is quite lacking in some areas." Armand flapped his wings irritably as Harry affixed the letter to his wing. "I'm finished. Do I open a window?" Harry asked, looking at the tall, narrow windows. Mother gave Draco a pointed look before walking back to the desk. She briefly held out her arm as she went past Armand and he aligned from his perch and onto her forearm. She carried him to the far window by the wall and opened it. "Deliver this letter to the Weasley home, Ottery St. Catchpole in Devon. Any particular recipient, Mr. Potter?" Mother asked without turning to look. Harry started fumbling after his words.
Well, anyone that's there would be fine."
Mother's voice dropped to a whisper as she told Armand his instructions and once more held out her arm to the window. The owl spread his massive wings and they caught the moonlight for a second before Draco lost all sight of him. There was a faint click as Mother closed the window and turned to them, her hands neatly folded together in front of her. "It's getting quite late." Draco retrieved the plate of iced buns.
"Yes. Good night, Mother."
Harry took a few steps toward the door, hesitating.
"Thanks again."
Mother nodded. "I hope your stay here is pleasant." Draco held back when he saw his mother walking to intercept him before the door. Mother brushed her hand over his arm, murmuring just loud enough for him to hear, "I'd like to have dinner with both of you tomorrow. Otherwise, you're free to do as you wish." Draco nodded. Mother hugged him and then waved them both off.
"Go on."
Chapter 23. Harry was waiting by the door and shut it behind them. He cleared his throat.
I don't think your mom likes me very much."
"She only loves four people and is indifferent at best towards the rest," Draco said. "She doesn't really do like, if that makes you feel any better."
"Does she know about you and me?" Harry asked.
"For about a week now," Harry said. "She didn't set me on fire, so it couldn't have gone too badly. Unless it didn't. Should I be worried about getting murdered in my sleep?"
Draco gave him a look.
"Really?"
"I was joking," Harry said.
Draco rolled his eyes. "It's fine," he said, leading Harry into his rooms. "This is the sitting room," Draco pointed flippantly. "Bedroom to the left, bathroom and dressing room to the right."
"Is this your room?"
Harry asked, wandering around and looking through the open doorway into his bedroom.
"Yes.
Who else do you imagine it belonged to?" Draco said, crossing the table in front of the crackling fireplace. He put down his plate and picked up the abandoned bottle of champagne.
Harry shrugged. "Anyone? Or no one? It looks like a hotel room. A really fancy one, but still."
He walked around and looked into the bathroom.
"I thought there would be more... you." "What is that supposed to mean?" Draco asked, filling his glass.
"There are no..." Harry gestured around. "Posters or knickknacks or even books. You've got to have books." Draco followed Harry's gaze to the muted blue walls. The rugs were blue, white and gray. The drapes were soft gray as well. The walls were blank, the tables were all empty aside from his nightstand. There was nothing on the floor or on the furniture. It looked almost exactly as it had the day he took the room as his own.
"I have a personal study for all my books and notes," Draco said.
He tapped the side of the glass anxiously.
"This isn't the room I grew up in," he said, taking a bracing swallow of champagne.
Harry's brow furrowed. Draco held out the glass and Harry took it without thinking and then frowned at his hand.
"It's champagne," Draco said.
"It's a nice room, I suppose. You must have moved in recently," Harry said, sitting next to him and sipping the champagne.
"Oh, this is good."
Draco raised an eyebrow. Harry shrugged.
They've always got champagne at ministry things, and it's usually crap.
There's hope for you yet, Harry Potter, Draco said, finishing off his bun.
I like your nails.
Draco twitched in surprise, turning his hands over to look at them.
I forgot. Pansy did them as a Christmas gift.
Harry took one of his hands, running his thumb over the shiny blue-green lacquer.
It suits you, unsurprisingly.
Why? Draco asked suspiciously. Because you look good in everything.
Draco smiled at the praise. Not true. I look awful in yellow. If you ever buy me anything in yellow, I will incendio it on sight.
Not even as a joke? Harry asked.
Draco raised an eyebrow.
If that's what amuses you, feel free to indulge.
Harry laughed. Good thing you weren't sorted into Hufflepuff.
Draco shuddered.
Ugh.
Harry laughed again.
Although the colors are yellow and black, so I could have just worn black, Draco said.
Harry offered Draco the glass of champagne.
I've had enough, Draco said, shaking his head.
Harry picked up the bottle and poured out the last few swallows.
You can have the rest of that bun if you like.
Excellent, Draco said, helping himself.
Is your old room still...
Could I see it? Harry asked. Draco froze, iced bun halfway into his mouth.
I'd like to see it.
Draco nibbled on the bun with a frown. He took a deep breath.
Tomorrow, then.
He quickly changed the subject. So, I can show you to a guest room, or you can stay here.
No offense, but this place is too creepy to be on my own, Harry said.
Draco said sarcastically,
Is it? I hadn't noticed.
You don't mind? Harry asked.
No.
It'd probably just be sleep. That's fine, Draco said.
On account of the creepy thing, Harry said.
Draco glanced at him.
Yes, thanks so much for bringing it up again.
Harry grinned briefly.
And there might be nightmares.
Draco stared at him flatly for a few seconds and then said with faux surprise,
Oh, you meant yourself.
Ha ha, Harry said.
Do you need anything? Draco asked.
Can I use your bathroom? Draco nodded, pulling on a pair of pajama bottoms while Potter was gone. Harry leaned out of the door.
Hey, do you have a toothbrush I could use?
Have you somehow not learned how to do a mouth-cleaning charm? Draco asked as he walked over. Harry had stripped out of his jumper and jeans to the baggy t-shirt and boxers underneath.
Harry sighed. No, I have, but mine tastes odd.
Odd? Draco repeated. Are you casting it correctly?
Yes, Harry rolled his eyes. Everyone's charm turns out different. Hermione's is a strong cinnamon, really strong, and Ron... His charm leaves kind of an orange aftertaste, and mine is just strange. None of us could place it.
Draco frowned.
You didn't know that? Harry said.
Draco said, Mother's and mine are both mint.
Makes sense, I guess. You're related.
I did remember hers being milder. I'd always thought I misremembered.
Draco looked around.
Where's your wand?
Why? Harry asked.
Well, now I need to know, Draco said, taking his own wand out of the waistband of his pajamas and holding it out to Harry.
Harry hesitated, his fingers curling in nervously.
Come on, Draco said impatiently. You managed to cast with it perfectly well in the past.
Harry gingerly took Draco's wand and smiled faintly to himself.
Still friendly.
What does...
Draco stopped mid-question as Harry's charm hit him in the mouth. The lingering taste of iced buns and champagne vanished, leaving a new flavor, mildly sweet and floral. Harry shrugged with a nervous smile.
See? Strange.
It's not strange at all. It's violets, Draco laughed.
Violets?
Candied violets, Draco said. Haven't you had them before? Harry's brow furrowed. Maybe once, when Aunt Marge came to visit. I'm not sure I like violets much.
Well, I quite like them, Draco said.
Harry gave Draco his wand back.
Will you do me then?
Without a doubt, Draco said with a sly grin.
I didn't mean it like the... Harry sucked in a shocked breath as Draco cast the charm, and fell to coughing.
Merlin! He gasped. That's as strong as Miney's.
Draco started laughing, and Harry grabbed him, pulling him close and peppering him with mint-flavored kisses until he was too busy being kissed to laugh.
You're terrible, Harry said with utter exasperation. As if you aren't awful. You said so yourself, Draco said with a grin, tracing his fingers over Harry's back.
Harry shivered and wriggled loose.
We should go to bed.
Draco rolled his eyes. I suppose, if you're done hogging the bathroom. Harry disappeared inside and grabbed his wand and discarded clothing. All done. Draco finished up his nightly routine, washing his face and applying his skincare potions. When he came into his bedroom, Harry had shoved the blankets back and was laying in bed, reading the book that persisted in being the bane of Draco's existence. Draco sighed. Harry jumped, looking over the top of the book with a guilty expression.
Sorry, there's not much else to do.
That's my mother's idea of sex education, Draco gestured to the book. When I turned 13, she got me the first 3 books, and when she found out I was gay, I got that for Christmas.
It's more than I've ever gotten, Harry said.
You can borrow it if you like, Draco said.
I've read it.
You already finished it? Harry said. Draco raised an eyebrow. It's written for children. Challenging literature it is not. He waved at Harry irritably.
Move over. This is my side.
How is one side any different than the other? It's the one I'm used to, and it's my bed. Now move, Draco said. Harry shifted over, flumping back into the pillow.
What are the first 3 books about?
Volume 1 is about puberty for little wizards, 2 is about puberty for little witches, and 3 is about sex, Draco said, sitting on the edge of the bed and kicked off his slippers.
Why'd she buy you the second one?
Why wouldn't she? Draco asked.
Half of our classmates are women.
It's useful to understand what they're going through, and to provide chocolates when their periods sync up, Draco said, laying back and trying not to feel too self-conscious.
They do what now?
Harry asked faintly. Draco laughed. When women live together, they start having their periods at the same time.
How many years we've been in school and you didn't know that? You ought to borrow the other books as well.
I should, Harry admitted. He closed the book and handed it to Draco to put back on the bedside table.
I like the photo.
Draco set the book with the other 2 he had been reading and looked at Tulip's picture set beside the lamp.
We had just gotten back from break.
Who took it? Harry asked.
Tulip, Mother's personal elf, Draco said. She's obsessed with photography. She must use all her spending money on paper and developing liquid.
Harry rolled on his side towards Draco.
Spending money. Is she a free elf?
Draco sighed. No, and before you say, we did offer it to them if they wanted it. Most elves don't.
Why wouldn't they? Harry said, frowning.
That can't be right. They must be scared or...
They weren't, Draco said flatly.
Harry sat up, looking ready to get in a strop.
How do you know for sure? After how Dobby was treated, it would be... I can't imagine...
Draco took a deep breath. You don't have all the information, Potter. Let me explain. Harry opened his mouth and then stopped. He pushed his glasses up and rubbed his eyes with one hand. Yeah, all right. In 1104, a group of wizards and the Huddle Leaders, house elves called their leaders Huddles.
Is this a history lecture?
Shut up. They met to broker an official agreement between all the elves and wizard kind on the Isles, Draco said.
You see, Hal's elves need magic places to live and raise families. They used to live in the old forests, which were rich in magic, but men cut most of them down and too few remained. So they began living in the homes of wizards, especially older, magic-rich homes.
Really? Why doesn't Hermione know this? Harry asked.
Have you ever heard that history is written by the victors? I found most of this information in old private family libraries, Draco said. Harry laid back down.
But you didn't care about house elves?
It was the task I was given by my father, primarily to keep me too busy to be used as a tool while still doing something necessary for...
Draco hesitated, not liking the first word that came to mind, like us.
For everything, he finished lamely.
Necessary?
Draco nodded. Bellatrix killed one of the elves in a fit of anger, and the next day they were all gone.
Because you broke the agreement, the one made in 11-0-something, Harry said.
Right, Draco said. It said that the elves could stay in a wizarding home in exchange for labor to be decided by the wizard in question. And yes, it was written that vague in the agreement and was immediately taken advantage of. If a wizard wanted an elf to leave, to unbind them from his home, he would give them clothes, a bundle to see them on the road. An elf would serve a household in good stead so long as they were safe, but any home that threatened an elf's life and livelihood unbinds them all.
Then where did Tulip come from, and the sourly one that opened the door? Harry asked.
Draco smiled briefly. Kipper is the surly one. He was the one to come back after the war. Tulip and Suppy, who does our cooking, came from different houses. Traditionally, to get more elves, you speak to the head of the house and just buy them. But with everything that happened, I made sure to find elves that both the Huddle and the head of the house would be willing to part with, and that the elf themselves would want to come. Draco fought back a yawn, reaching down and pulling the blankets and the comforter up to his chin.
So now you know them, Harry said.
Draco blinked.
What?
You said before that you didn't know Dobby, Harry said.
Oh, yes, I suppose I did.
Would you consider telling Hermione all of this? It's really important to her.
Draco sighed. There's a good chance it would only make things worse.
Harry's brow furrowed.
How?
Wizards haven't been honoring the agreement. They're supposed to provide somewhere safe for house elves to raise their families.
But you're very kind, Draco said pointedly. Like I said, the agreement is extremely vague. They don't have to keep house elves safe or comfortable. They just can't kill them.
That's horrible.
And the Wizengamot is full of hateful old fucks who are good at manipulating details to suit themselves, Draco said. They won't be kind.
Will you give it to her anyway?
Draco shrugged.
All right. I suppose if anyone can bully the Wizengamot into behaving, it would be Granger. I would quite like to see that.
Harry shifted closer to the center of the bed, and Draco felt Harry's knee bump his.
Draco snorted.
Don't laugh, Harry grumbled.
Laughing at you is one of the finest pleasures in my life, Draco said.
Harry shook his head. He slowly pulled off his glasses, rubbing his cheek into the pillow.
I shouldn't have yelled at you.
Draco took Harry's glasses and set them on the nightstand. He used his wand to turn off the lights in the room, leaving on two lights in the sitting room, so a faint glow filtered into the bedroom.
I have trouble with my temper.
I noticed, Draco said. He could just make out Harry's outline, his hair sticking up, his eyes catching just enough light that Draco thought he could still see the green.
It's fine.
I'm not so sure about that, Harry said softly.
It's fine because you didn't lose your temper. I told you to listen and you did. I mean...
Draco bit his bottom lip absently, glad it was too dark for Harry to see him flush.
I can't make my nerves just disappear. All I can do is try to fix it a little at a time. So as long as you're doing that, then it's fine.
Harry tipped his face deeper into his pillow, clearing his throat.
Yeah? Draco rolled onto his side, hooking a leg over Harry's and letting their feet tangle together. It very well ought to be, because I haven't a fucking clue otherwise. Harry huffed a faint laugh and was quiet. Draco was starting to think he'd fallen asleep when Harry asked, "Why don't you ask me about things?" Draco blinked. "Draco?" Harry said quietly. What do you mean?" Draco asked. "Well, I ask you things all the time, and you haven't really asked me anything other than what my favorite season is," Harry said. "I ask you things." "Not important things," Harry said. "Do you not want to?" Draco frowned. "Of course I want to." "Then why don't you?" Harry asked. "Because you're a very private person," Draco said carefully. "Yeah, but you're rather an exception now," Harry said. "An exception, am I? I'm honored, Mr. Potter," Draco teased, mostly to hide how appallingly happy he felt. Harry groaned. "You know what I mean." "Oh, do I now?" Draco said. "Yes," Harry said. "Ask me whatever you like." "Very well." Draco thought for a second, then asked, "Then will you show me where you grew up?" Draco could hear Harry's startled intake of breath. Harry broke off. "It's been sold, I think." "You could show me around the memory of it in a pensieve," Draco said. "It's nothing special." "Will you show me anyway?" Draco asked. Harry nodded, his words faint. Yeah, we can do that." "Thank you," Draco said. Silence stretched out between them. Harry shifted under the blankets and took Draco's hand. "Night, Draco." "Good night, Harry," Draco said softly.
Chapter 24. Draco woke with a start, eyes wide, holding himself perfectly still. He could see a figure in the darkness and held his breath. Finally, his eyes focused and he could see that it was Harry, sitting up, hand pressed over his mouth to try and muffle his erratic breathing. Draco breathed out, forcing himself to relax. He slowly pushed himself up with a sigh, turning on the lamp and using his wand to conjure a glass and fill it with water.
"I warned you," Harry said weakly.
Draco gave Harry the water.
"Do you want your glasses?"
Harry shook his head. He slowly drained the glass with shaking hands.
"I'll be fine." "More water?"
Harry shook his head and Draco vanished the glass.
"You can go back to sleep," Harry said.
Draco yawned.
"How long does it take, usually, to get back to sleep?"
"Not long," Harry said.
Draco snorted. "Liar."
"Sometimes it's not long."
"So, your dream?"
Draco saw Harry stiffen.
"Did it make sense?"
Harry was silent and breathed out all at once in relief, that turned to laughter, sounding a heartbeat away from a sob.
"No, it was so stupid!"
"Merlin, I hate that," Draco said and leaned against Harry, laying his head on his shoulder. Harry's laughter faded and he sighed, his shoulders relaxing.
"Thanks."
"I just did what I would want," Draco said. "Do you want any potions? Dreamless sleep?"
"No," Harry said.
He paused, forcing a light tone. "Emergencies only." "Pansy nearly beat the shit out of me last time she thought I took dreamless sleep. I got sat down at the table for a serious talk with Molly Weasley and Hermione," Harry said.
"I'll take the beating," Draco said.
Harry grinned.
"Yeah, I think I'd rather that as well."
Draco fought down another yawn.
"You really can go back to sleep," Harry said.
"Hmm," Draco said sleepily.
There's something I use. Did I ever tell you about my ferns?
Your ferns?
I've been trying to make a new calming potion from them, but I haven't figured out how to totally neutralize the sedative effects, Draco said.
What?
It makes you sleepy. I take it after I have a nightmare. Harry looked up at the ceiling and sighed. I'll try it. Draco dragged himself upright and opened the bedside drawer, taking out the small vial of blue-tinted liquid, swirling it and putting a small amount of liquid into the dropper.
Ready? It'll hit you quickly.
Harry nodded after a moment's hesitation. Draco usually took 3 drops for a deep sleep, but he only gave Harry 2 just in case it affected him more strongly. He put the bottle away, and when he turned back, Harry was already fighting to keep his eyes open. Harry lay down with a huge yawn. Draco echoed his yawn and pulled the blankets back up. Harry's eyes were nearly closed when Draco settled back into his pillow.
Should this be strange? Us here together?
Harry asked, hardly more than a murmur.
I feel like I should be more nervous.
Probably, Draco said. You've never had much sense.
But I trust you. Ron and Miney say not to, but I do.
No sense at all, Draco said. A smile crept on Harry's face as he finally let his eyes close.
You whine a lot, but you never do anything I don't want you to.
I could, Draco said, feeling offended on principle. Harry's smile grew and then started to relax.
Harry?
Draco asked quietly and received no response as Harry's breathing deepened into sleep. Draco wet his lips and leaned forward, stealing a kiss.
See? Not to be trusted at all, Draco muttered.
He frowned at himself, resisting the urge to brush his thumb over Harry's lips like he could wipe the kiss away. Draco turned off the lamp and shrugged deeper into the plush comforter.
You're worth waiting for, moron.
Draco slowly blinked awake, grimacing at the light filtering around the curtains. He was on his back, one arm flung out over the open side of the bed, and something warm was pressed tight to his side. Draco eased the comforter back and found that despite the massive size of the bed, Harry had ended up half curled up against Draco's side. He had his knees drawn up towards his chest and his head snugly pressed into Draco's armpit, one arm flung over Draco's chest. Draco slowly carted his fingers through Harry's hair, studying his face. He felt like he could have easily mistaken Harry for 15 at that moment, without the lines of tension and tightness in Harry's jaw he always seemed to have when he was awake. Harry's breathing shifted, his eyes fluttered, and then he held very still. Draco kept playing with his hair with a growing grin.
Good morning, Harry.
Harry slowly opened his eyes.
Don't laugh.
Draco didn't, barely.
It's your reaction that's funny, if you must know.
Harry shifted and slowly unfolded himself, stretching like a cat.
How did you sleep? Draco asked.
Good,
Harry said with a yawn. How would you rate the quality of your sleep compared to the other times you were awakened by a nightmare? Harry squinted at him.
Is this a survey?
I need all the data I can get, Draco said. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel? Harry continued to squint, and Draco was afraid that the expression was meant to be a glare, and seeing as he wouldn't get any answers if he laughed in Harry's face, he handed Harry his glasses and then went back to brushing his fingers through Harry's hair. Harry sighed into the touch.
Fine, I guess. 8 or 9?
And how do you normally feel after a bad night? Draco asked.
Dunno, 5? Harry said.
And would you recommend it to... Harry smacked his arm. Enough, asshole. Draco grinned. Thank you for your participation. Would you like your reward?
Maybe, Harry said suspiciously.
Depends. Draco pressed a kiss to Harry's forehead.
I was thinking it would be a bit more than that, Harry said.
Draco raised an eyebrow.
You never completed the survey.
Stuff your stupid survey. I want a proper kiss, Harry said.
I worked hard on that survey, Draco said, affecting a pout.
You did not, Harry countered. He pushed himself up on one elbow to kiss Draco.
You did not, Harry countered. He pushed himself up on one elbow to kiss Draco.
Draco lurched backwards, putting a hand over his mouth.
Cheater!
Harry grabbed his wrist, jerking him close with a grin. Draco shoved him back with his free hand, fighting not to laugh as they tangled and pushed and pulled at one another, the comforter falling off the bed, the pillows ending up as impromptu weapons lost to the floor, both of them laughing until they were breathless and Harry finally managed to grab both of Draco's wrists, pin him down to the bed, and kiss him. Harry leaned back to say something and stopped, and the look in his eye made Draco's breath catch. Draco lifted the leg between Harry's, brushing his inner thigh. Harry leaned down and hesitantly kissed him. The kiss deepened, and Draco slid his knee higher, his neck straining upwards like Harry was Icarus's son. Harry's grip loosened just enough to thread their fingers together, pressing their hands back into the sheets.
Draco, Harry gasped against his lips, finally pressing his body down against Draco's.
He rolled his hips against Draco's thigh, hesitant and gasping. The thin fabric between them let Draco feel almost everything and not nearly enough. He bit his lip, forcing himself to slow, to meet Harry at his pace, to move with him. A whimper escaped Draco, but before he could be embarrassed, Harry kissed him again. Draco pulled a hand free, touching Harry's cheek, sliding back into his hair and down, possessively cupping the nape of his neck to keep him close as he kissed along Harry's jaw and neck. He came all too soon with Harry's name caught in his moan. Draco held him tight as Harry's movements grew more frantic. He pressed his face into the curve of Draco's neck as he came, his groan stifled by the fabric. They lay collapsed together. Draco pushed Harry's thin t-shirt up, running his hands up Harry's back, tracing the line of his spine with his fingertips. Harry said,
"That was amazing."
"Mm-hmm," Draco said.
"We should get cleaned up."
Harry looked around for his wand. Draco grumbled and held on tighter.
"Come on."
"No," Draco muttered. Harry pulled free anyway, but at least had the decency to stay close. Harry pointed to the far side of the bed.
"There it is. Can you grab my wand?"
Draco said, "I'd love to, preferably without our pants in the way." Draco threw an arm out, padding around in the mess of sheets aimlessly until he found Harry's wand and passed it over. Harry cast a cleaning spell over them.
"How does my wand feel?"
"Hard." Harry rolled his eyes. "You're impossible." There was a snap of apparition as Kipper appeared at the side of the bed. Draco felt Harry jump.
"Good morning, young master. Will you and your esteemed guest be wanting breakfast?"
Kipper asked flatly.
"Yes, you can send it to the sitting room. Thank you, Kipper," Draco said.
Kipper bowed stiffly and apparated away.
"Does he normally do that? Just show up?" Harry asked faintly.
"Yes, it's how he's always done things," Draco said. "Kipper hates all other changes I've made, so I let him be a little shit about things like this." He sat up and stretched.
"What if we were doing, you know, would he..."
"No, of course not. That wouldn't be proper," Draco said, crawling to the edge of the bed. Harry caught his arm.
"About my wand. Because yours feels so friendly, so I was wondering what mine felt like to you."
Draco sighed.
"It's not bad, is it?" Harry asked.
"I'm thinking," Draco said. "It was complicated." He smoothed his hair back absently. "Hopeful, I suppose." "Hopeful,"
Harry repeated softly.
They argued over the bathroom, which Draco won because it was his bathroom, and to which Harry swore to never let him go first again once he came out. Draco indignantly replied that it didn't take that long, and swept away to his dressing room to get changed. He put on gray slacks, pulling on a green jumper the color of Harry's eyes over a simple white button-up.
"This is ridiculous," Harry said as he joined Draco in the dressing room.
Draco glanced around as he pulled his sleeves straight. The walls were filled with racks and shelves of clothes, all charmed to hold more than they first showed.
"Wonderful, you mean," Draco said.
"Nah."
Draco sniffed. "You look like you get your clothes out of a dumpster.
You look like putting a stick up your ass is an essential part of every outfit."
Harry stared at him, almost holding his breath to see if he had gone too far. Draco rolled his eyes.
"It's called good posture, you Neanderthal."
"Pratt," Harry grinned.
"Anyway."
Draco gestured to the neatly folded pile of clothes on one of the chairs in the center of the room. "Kipper cleaned your jeans and jumper. You're welcome to borrow anything else you might need, unless you plan on continuing to wear the same pants and t-shirt you've been wearing since yesterday." Harry pulled up the collar of his t-shirt and sniffed it experimentally. Draco raised an eyebrow.
"It's all right," Harry said.
Draco went over to the drawers, pulling out one of the few pairs of boxers he owned and throwing them at Harry, who snapped them out of the air without thinking. Harry frowned at his hand.
"Silk? Really?"
"How about you try them on before whining like a child?" Draco said, sorting out a stack of undershirts and picking one out, throwing it after the boxers. Harry caught it with a sigh and held it out in front of himself. He went to pull his t-shirt off and stopped.
"Are you going to leave?"
"Why?" Draco asked, dropping onto the chair and leaning over the back to watch.
"Because I'm hungry," Harry said.
Draco didn't move.
"Because me changing is probably going to end up being more than just getting dressed."
"Sounds lovely to me," Draco said.
"Yes, but I'm hungry, and I..." "Yeah, just bugger off, okay?" Harry said impatiently.
Draco stood up. He gave Harry his most long-suffering expression as he slowly walked to the door. Harry ignored him. As soon as the door clicked closed behind Draco, Harry called,
"Can I ask you something?"
"Any reason why you waited to ask until I left the room?" Harry hesitated, and Draco could hear the faint rustle of clothing. "I can't get myself to ask otherwise?"
Draco leaned against the doorframe.
"Go on, then."
"You said before you'd had casual relationships, so I was wondering how far you'd... or what you'd done before."
Draco frowned. "As I remember it, I said nothing formal."
"Same difference, isn't it?"
"Then I said I didn't want to talk about it," Draco added.
"It was bad then?" Harry asked.
Draco squeezed the bridge of his nose.
"What gave you that idea?" he asked sarcastically.
"Who was it?"
"I'm not falling for this again," Draco muttered to himself.
"You first," he called through the door.
"What?"
"You heard me," Draco said. "If you want to know, you have to tell me your entire dating history first." "I went on one date with Cho. She was my first kiss," Harry said reluctantly. "Ginny and I made out, then groped a bit. You're the first person I've ever done anything more with."
There was a long pause. "I was kind of busy."
Harry pulled the door open and frowned at him.
"Draco?"
"I was your first," Draco repeated faintly.
"Yeah?"
"You have excellent taste," Draco said, his voice wavering only slightly. He turned away as his face started to flush. Harry caught his arm and pulled him back.
"You're really okay with it? I know it's weird for a grown bloke to have no experience."
"Okay," Draco said, his face getting unbearably hot.
"Okay? I am... I..."
He floundered after his words in the face of Harry's anxious expression. He leaned down and kissed Harry, tugging on the front of his worn blue jumper. "It's more than okay. I want all your firsts. I want every single one of them." "Oh." Harry relaxed and smiled faintly. "That's good, then." Draco kissed him again. "Shall we have breakfast, then?" Draco asked, nodding towards the table. Harry kept hold of his arm. "What about you, then? I told you everything." Draco sighed and looked down at his feet. "Handjobs, a few blowjobs, given, not received. He was straight," he said sourly. "It ended when I wanted more emotionally." Who isn't important?" Draco said, pulling Harry to the table. "Come on, you said you were hungry."
I very much hope you enjoyed this reading. If you did, be sure to check out some of the others I've done. A link to the fanfiction will be in the description. New stuff goes up every Wednesday and Friday religiously. And if you want to see more like this series, give a recommendation. I have a form that you can fill out for recommendations. If you just want to say hi, stuff like that, you want to talk, I have a business email, very professional, so you can just like shoot me something over there. I'd love to hear from you guys. Or you can leave a comment, whatever works for you. And if you like my stuff, you want to see more, follow, subscribe, do whatever you want. And I have a coffee page, Ko-fi. It's where you can like support me with money. I'm not good at this. It's $1 money. Yes. I'm not gonna ask for it, but if you wanted to, that's an option. Wanted to support me over there, that'd be pretty cool. And yeah. Have a great day. I'll see you in the next one. Bye!